The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society. The Korea Society, in 2007, celebrating 50 years of promoting greater awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org. On February 27, 2007, the Korea Society presented a special screening of director Bong Joon-ho's new monster movie, The Host, followed by a Q&A session with Bong, moderated by Korean film blogger Samuel Jam-ye.
Good evening, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you on behalf of the Korea Society, the Secretary and the Vice President and Executive Director. To do this introduction, and perhaps not so pleasurable to you, so I'll try to keep it short. I would like to call your attention to our website. We've been doing a lot of work on it, and the reason is that on the website you'll find information in particular about what I assume is one of your strong interests, which is film. We're very pleased that we've become the new home of the New York Korean Film Festival as of last year, and this festival has been going on for several years, and we will have another version of it this probably late August, but you'll have to check our website to find the exact dates because we don't know them yet, so I'll tell you. But there'll be 15 or so films, and it should be great. In addition, we have a classic film night, which is sort of like a master class with a lecture associated with it, and a series of very interesting films. We also have a film blog, and the impresario of our film blog, in fact, is right here. And it's really drawing a lot of attention. So, in short, among many other things, we at the Korea Society are very, very interested in film, and we see it as a wonderful medium in which to help to create some greater awareness and to build relationships between Koreans and Americans. And so I encourage you to thank you for coming tonight, and I encourage you to keep your eyes on the Korea Society and see if there's something in the area of film that interests you. Thank you. Well, Samuel?
My name is Samuel Jam-ye. I'm writing the film blog, the film journal for the Korea Society. I would like to thank you for attending this film festival, first dedicated to the works of director Bong Joon-ho, one of the great filmmakers of South Korea, and I would like to say of our time, I do believe. I should really give credit where credit is due. We wouldn't be here tonight if this festival wouldn't have taken place without the tremendous work of film officer Yoon Cho, who's here with us and with whom I was fortunate enough to collaborate for the past few months. And on her behalf, I would like to thank Magnolia Pictures. They brought the film here, and I hope it's the beginning of a long and superb career for the film, for the host, for Bong Joon-ho, and for Korean cinema as well. I don't want to jinx it, but as people say, tonight bodes really well, I believe. Which brings me to tonight's film. It's very exciting. It's particularly exciting to introduce a film that earned so many awards 2 days after the Academy Awards ceremony. It's very exciting for me to introduce a director that is so widely acclaimed and so popular in Korea. For the record, Memories of Murder in 2003 got awards at the Cheongsa Film Festival, the Best Director Award at the Jaejeong Awards, Barking Dogs Never Bite got the International Critics Award, and so on and so forth. Many, many, many more. And The Host pretty much swept every single prize you could think of in Korea, except the Oscars, but maybe if Martin Scorsese wants to cut and paste something from not Hong Kong this time, but from South Korea, I think that we don't know that would be a good idea. An excellent idea. I could see him do that. Which brings me to, as you might know, The Rites of the Rose were already bought for remake. A piece of news which we could find scarier than the film itself, but time will tell. So I can tell some people like the idea. So to I wanted to be brief, really, but I would like to leave Bong Joon-ho to the introduction of this film, because no one who can speak better about the film than its author, after all. So please let me introduce you to the only, the one, director Bong Joon-ho. Thank you very much.
Good evening, and welcome to Monster Show tonight. I think, frankly speaking, I think this movie is not a monster movie, but a very emotional Korean family drama. So I hope you enjoy the family characters, the losers, the powerless, and some kind of bojo. B-O-C-O, bojos.
Bozos. Yeah. Bozos.
Bozos. Sorry.
It's okay. I have an accent.
Yeah. But don't worry, you can see the real monster on the screen. So please enjoy the movie.
After the film for the Q&A, and we're going to have an open bar reception afterwards, so it's good, it's New York, and it's good to feel like it's Friday night on a Tuesday night, so please enjoy the film. Well, good evening again. I hope you enjoyed the film. So I will ask a few questions for Bong Joon-ho, and then I will open the floor for more questions before we can head out right next door on the left. So Bong Joon-ho, to put the host in its context, which I think is really of paramount importance, we should really remember how the host devastated all Korean box office records, and to the point that this tremendous success became part and parcel of what the film actually is. And there's about a million reasons for failures, but what do you think are the reasons for this tremendous success? How did your film meet its audience, the way it did?
사실 왜 그랬는지 전혀 모르겠습니다. 아직도 그 이해할 수 없는 경우인 것 같고요. 네. 근데 사실 영화를 준비할 때 하도 여러 가지 그 주변에서 축복보다는 저주를 많이 받아서 왜 괴물 영화를 하려고 하냐 그런 하지 마라 네가 하려는 걸 하지 마라 이런 반응이 되게 많았어가지고 특히 그 몬스터 영화나 사이파이 영화들이 한국에서 되게 이렇게 천대받는 유치한 어린이용 영화로 천시받는 장르라서 그런 편견이 많았고 그래서 어떻게 하면 잘 완성할 수 있을까 사실 이런 생각밖에 없었습니다. 그래서 박스오피스 결과에 대해서는 전혀 뭐 예측이나 기대를 할 수가 없었던 상황이었고요.
As to why it did so great in the box office Tuesday, I have no idea. While making this film, it was more like people around me were, instead of being supportive, a lot of people were cursing us, saying, like, don't make this the way you want to do it, because monster films or sci-fi films in Korea pretty much don't do well. So they're thinking, it's like a children, very tacky type film. So while making this film, it was more about, okay, how do I finish this film well to the end? So as to the box office, I had no predictions or anticipations.
So this film is, you're speaking about this film as a monster film, but I think as a lot of people here would have noticed or thought, it's also much more than a monster film. So I would like to speak about, if you could speak about the social dimension of your film, which seems to be very a very recurring dimension of your films in general. Could you speak a little more about this?
그 전작이었던 살인의 추억에서도 그랬지만 항상 살인의 추억은 스릴러였고 이 영화 같은 경우는 이제 몬스터 무비인데 어떤 어떤 장르를 택할 때 그 장르의 룰이나 컨벤션을 따르기 위해서 선택한다기보다는 그 장르를 이렇게 망가뜨리기 위해서 그 장르를 부셔뜨리기 위해서 택하는 경향이 있거든요. 그래서 그런 가장 기본적인 충동이 있다 보니까 이 영화도 몬스터 무비를 하기로 했지만 그 외에 다른 차원들을 자꾸 처음부터 생각하게 되었었던 것 같습니다.
Like my previous film, Memories of Murder, is that's a thriller. In this movie, you could just say it's like a monster film. But when I choose a genre to do, I don't really go for the rules or the conventions of it all. It's more for me fun to like break it down, take it apart, destroy the genre. So since I have that, that's why I think, you know, you have other, you start thinking about other social aspects to the film or other aspects to the film.
그 제일 처음 구성할 때부터 그래서 이 몬스터 영화지만 흔히 몬스터 무비에 나오는 그 전문가들 있잖아요. 군인, 경찰, 과학자 이런 사람들이 영화에 나오는 게 되게 싫었고 그러다 보니 오히려 그 괴물과 맞서 싸우는 게 가장 말이 안 되는 인물들로만 총집합시켜서 그런 주인공들을 하려다 보니까 이 영화에서 본 것 같은 그런 그 루저 패밀리들이 나오게 됐고요. 그런 인물들이 나오다 보니까 자연스럽게 왜 이런 그 힘없는 가족을 또 아무도 도와주지 않는가 국가나 사회나 시스템이 그런 생각으로 또 자연스럽게 발전해 나가게 되고 그래서 말씀하신 것 같은 영화의 어떤 사회적인 코멘트나 정치적인 풍자 같은 게 자연스럽게 이어져서 나왔던 것 같아요.
Like, you know, if you look at a lot of monster films, there's many specialists involved in there. For instance, you know, you have the army or, like, the police or, like, the scientists, and that didn't really appeal to me. So you have this creature here, and then you had to have people fighting against it. So I was thinking, what would make the least amount of sense to fight against this creature? And therefore, you have this loser family. And then with this loser family, then you think, well, why is no one helping them? You know, for instance, you know, where's the country, the society, the system, you know, where's the help? And that would, therefore you do see, like, you know, social commentary in there or, you know, political satire, and that's where it's derived from.
그리고 또 반대로 아이러니컬한 건데 그 역설적으로 그렇게 해서 이제 정치적인 풍자를 하다 보니까 정치 사회적인 풍자들이 이제 영화의 곳곳에 꽤나 직설적으로 들어가게 됐는데 또 알고 보니까 또 그런 식의 되게 투박한 정치적인 풍자가 들어가는 거지 또 몬스터 장르의 또 전통이기도 하더라고요. 옛날 그 50년대 클래식 그 어떤 사이파이 영화나 몬스터 영화들 보면 또 그런 뭐 괴물이나 외계인이 뭐 소비에트를 상징하네 뭐 또는 뭐 메카시즘을 뭐 은유하는 거나 이런 식으로 그런 식의 전통들이 또 많이 있었던 거고 결국은 그러다 보니까 또 제자리로 돌아와서 또 어떻게 보면 몬스터 장르의 전통을 또 따른 게 되어버렸고요. 그래서 그런 역설적인 면이 재밌었어요.
Ironically, you know, with this little political satire going on throughout my film, I was thinking, you know, wait a minute, to have like a crude portrayal of the government is actually sort of with the traditions of the monster genre. For instance, you know, the 50s, like the sci-fi film, you know, where the people are out of space films, you know, they're talk about it symbolizes, you know, Soviet Union. Basically, what I'm saying is I ended up going full circle and coming back to, you know, going with the conventions of the monster genre.
Right. So you just mentioned that family of losers, and they really are. Some people, you could see them as very ordinary people as well. But it's
something that I've noticed in your film is there's this consistent, it seems to be this consistent sympathy for the underdog, and I was interested in what interests you, what draws you to these characters. How do you empathize with them? What draws you to create stories around the underdog, basically?
어떻게 보면 이제 1차적으로는 저의 취향이고요. 네, 끊어서 하죠.
First of all, I guess you just say it's sort of like my taste.
그리고 또 봤어. 그 전작인 살인의 추억에서도 보면은 그 연쇄살인범과 맞서 싸우는 연쇄살인범을 잡으려 하는 형사들이 나오는데 그 형사들이 되게 좀 무능하고 바보 같은 형사들이 나오거든요. 어떤 그 제가 스크립트를 대본을 쓰거나 할 때 보면은 그런 식의 상황에 자연스럽게 끌리는 것 같아요. 그러니까 예를 들어 되게 뭐 지적인 능력이건 뭐 육체적이건 뛰어난 능력을 가진 뭐 슈퍼히어로 같은 사람이 되게 쉽게 미션을 해결해 버리면 거기서 아무런 드라마도 나오지 않는다고 생각하거든요. 오히려 이 영화에 나오는 그 이런 그 정말 루저 가족들이나 아니면은 살인의 추억의 그 멍청한 형사들처럼 그런 사람들이 자기들의 능력의 범위를 벗어나는 자기들이 감당하기 힘든 어떤 미션을 수행하려고 발버둥칠 때 거기로부터 모든 그것이 블랙 코미디건 또는 비극이건 인간적인 감정들이 거기서 쏟아져 나온다고 생각이 들어요. 그래서 그 저의 시나리오를 쓰는 어떤 패턴이 아닌가 생각도 들고요.
For instance, you know, in Memories of Murder, the detectives, they were kind of, you know, hopeless and stupid, you know. So I think for me, if you have, like, the smart, you know, the physically great, the superhero type fighting against or accomplishing a mission, there's no drama in that. Rather, if you have something like the Loser family or those dumb cops or, you know, if they are overcoming their limitations and go out and do everything they can to accomplish something, I think that's where... you have the black comedy or the tragedy role, and that's where audiences are able to, like, you know, empathize.
그리고 외국의 관객들은 어떻게 보실지 모르겠지만 그런 캐릭터들마다 되게 저마다 조금씩의 어떤 한국적인 리얼리티가 있다고 생각합니다. 그러니까 물론 이제 이런 평범한 사람들 또는 어떻게 보면 무능한 사람들이기 때문에 더 그런 측면이 가능한 것 같기도 한데요. 이들이 가진 되게 한국적인 측면, 미묘하지만 되게 한국적인 리얼리티를 가진 면들이 있고요. 그런 인물들을 묘사할 때 가장 어떤 뭐랄까 영화적인 쾌감을 느낀다고 할까요? 네, 그런 면이 있네요.
I don't know how foreign audiences will receive this, but I think in those characters, they actually have within them Korean realism or Korean reality in their ordinariness and sometimes hopelessness or weakness. I think that's where you could feel this Koreanness reality to it. And in portraying these, I guess you could say that I have this like filmic happiness.
I see. But you made a film within the conventions, working with the conventions of a very American genre. So some critics have compared this film with War of the Worlds, for example. And I was wondering to what extent you feel close to American genre cinema, Steven Spielberg in particular, if you can call Steven Spielberg genre cinema. But to what extent did people like Steven Spielberg influence your filmmaking?
네. 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 어느 정도까지 가깝게 느껴지는지 특히 이제 스필버그
70년대 영화를 좋아하고요. 그 E.T. 이전에 스필버그 영화 그 뭐 슈가랜드 익스프레스나 뭐 듀엘이나 이런 것들 되게 좋아하고 조스 같은 경우는 이 영화와 좀 연관도 있었습니다. 그 조스가 보면은 상어도 그냥 하나의 몬스터라고 봤을 때 그런 괴물이 등장했을 때 그 해변 마을 아미티인가요? 그 마을 이름이 뭐였지? 그 어쨌든 그 커뮤니티의 어떤 사람들의 반응이라든가 막 혼동이라든가 히스테리 집단적인 히스테리 이런 것들이 나온 모습 같은 게 이 영화에서 되게 참고할 만한 부분이었었고요. 예. 그 스필버그뿐 아니라 70년대 초반 미국 영화들이 되게 좋은 예. 관심이 많이 가고 어렸을 때부터 많이 반복적으로 보던 영화들이었죠. 예.
Basically, if you regarded the shark as a monster, then when it appears, the community, what happened, the reaction of the community, the confusion, and the like group hysteria, you can definitely see relevance there. Other than Spielberg, I actually really enjoyed American cinema in the 70s. You know, those were the films that I was interested in. I would watch. watch over and over again.
스피버그 그, 가장 명확한 차이는 스피버그는 항상 예산과 그 예산도 이렇게 남기고 일정보다 빨리 영화를 끝낸다고 하다 보면 근데 저는 항상 일정과 예산을 항상 조금씩 초과시키고 있습니다.
I guess you could say like the biggest difference between me and Spielberg is that I've heard that he's always actually with big budget or has a little left over and you know he finishes his films ahead of time or you know, on time, but I'm always a little over budget and a little over, you know, the schedule.
And how would you explain this?
뭐 찍으면서 자꾸 욕심이 나다 보면 뭔가 자꾸 더 하게 되고 예. 그 예. 근데 한국의 프로덕션 시스템이 할리우드보다 되게 좀 이렇게 탄력적인 면이 있어요. 그래서 감독이 좀 마음대로 할 수 있는 측면이 좀 더 있습니다. 여기는 미국은 이제 프로듀서들이 모든 걸 컨트롤하지만 예. 한국은 좀 반대라서 예. 어떻게 보면 뭐 복 받은 거라고 할 수도 있는데. 예.
I guess, you know, as I go on shooting, you know, I have things that I want to do more, and so in Korea, like the Korean production system is a bit flexible towards the director especially, and, you know, the director can do pretty much what he wants to do, whereas here, I think, you know, the American producers pretty much, you know, has everything in control, so I must say I'm pretty lucky.
So you mentioned American cinema as one of your influences. You also spoke previously in other interviews about the influence of Asian directors such as Imamura Shoei, who just actually passed away this year. Would you, what is the predominant influence, would you say, on your filmmaking? Korean cinema? American cinema from the French, Asian,
all the Asians. 영화 감독이기 전에 저도 영화 팬입니다. 영화 매니아고 그래서 좋아하는 감독들이 아주 많습니다. 근데 좋아하는 것과 영향받는 것이 어떻게 같고 다른지는 잘 모르겠어요.
Before I'm a director, I'm actually a big film fan, movie fan, movie mania of sorts. So I don't know what the difference would be between liking the film and, you know, being influenced by them.
그 말씀드렸던 것처럼 70년대 초의 미국 영화들도 되게 좋아하고요. 또 60년대, 70년대에 만들었던 그 클로드 샤브롤이 만들었던 범죄 영화들도 되게 좋아하고요. 또 말씀하셨던 일본의 이마무라 쇼에이나 구로자와 키요시 같은 감독도 되게 좋아합니다. 그러나 이제 딱 한 명만을 꼽아야 한다면은 예. 일단 얘기하시고.
I like the American films of, you know, early 70s and I like the crime films of Claude Chabrol.
Imamura Shohei. Imamura Shohei.
And
Kurosawa Kiyoshi.
Kurosawa Kiyoshi.
그 근데 사실 딱 저의 멘토라고 해야 될까 아니면 정말 존경하고 가장 좋아하는 감독을 뽑으라면은 여러분들은 잘 모르실 텐데 한국의 그 김기영 감독님이라고요. 70년대에 활약하셨던 한국의 거장 감독인데 작년도에 그 프랑스 시네마테크 프랑스에서 대규모 회고전도 있었고요. 그래서 제가 제일 좋아하는 감독입니다. 김기영 감독님. 가장 유니크하고 그로테스크한 영화들을 많이 찍으셨고요. 여러분들도 혹시 기회가 되시면은 꼭 보시기라고 강력히 강추하고 싶습니다.
If I had to choose just one out of them all, I have to say the one that my mentor is supposed to be the Korean director, the Korean master Kim Ki-young. You know, his films in the 60s and 70s. They just had a retrospective last year in France, and his films are very unique and grotesque. So I would highly recommend him to the audience to watch if you get the chance.
Yes, I think the films of Kim Ki-young will actually be coming to New York. Sometime, not sure when. Can you tell us why precisely Kim Ki-young? You were invited to speak at the Cinémathèque Française, right, in December.
그분은 그 한국 군사독재 시절에 활동했었던 분인데요. 그럼에도 불구하고 그런 어두운 시대나 암울한 문화적 분위기 속에서도 가장 자유분방하고 독특한 감수성을 표현했던 분이라서 그런 게 참 놀라운 것 같아요. 네.
Despite being, you know, he worked during under the military dictatorship. That was the time. It was a very dark era, and a lot of culture was, you know, repressed at the time. But despite that all he was very, he was able to make his films, his very unique films, in a very open and free way.
You mentioned the 70s a few times, and you made this film, Memories of Murder, set during the an era of dictatorship, and there's obviously a very strong political dimension to your films in general. What was your, what were you like during those, to what extent did it influence you as a person and as a filmmaker, that era of dictatorship?
Conservative 시절이 어떤 영향을 미쳤나요? 나한테. 그 제가 중고등학교 흔히 가장 감수성이 예민하다고 하는 중고등학교 청소년 시절이 군사 독재 시절이었기 때문에 그것이 학교에서도 심지어 학교 제 고등학교 때도 학교에서 뭐 교련 훈련 받고 그러니까 학교를 수업 시간 중에 무슨 군사 훈련을 받기도 하고 그런 시절이었는데 그런 게 되게 나 자신을 짜증나게 하고 괴롭게 만들었지만 동시에 또 그런 억압적인 분위기 속에서 나를 좀 더 이렇게 더 이상한 쪽으로 상상하게 만드는 그런 억압적인 분위기 속에서 오히려 한 구석에서 나만의 상상력을 그러니까 숨겨진 변태 학생이라고 해야 될까요? 그런 교실 한 구석에 숨어서 엉뚱한 상상을 늘 해왔던 그렇게 또 나를 오히려 자극했던 면이 있었죠. 그래서 이 보셨던 지금 보신 이 괴물이란 영화도 제가 고등학교 때 처음 이 아이디어를 떠올렸던 고등학교 때 그 방 창문을 통해서 한강을 보면서 한강에서 괴물이 나오는 영화를 찍어야겠다. 물론 그 당시 그걸 누구한테도 얘기하진 않았습니다. 이상한 나의 취급을 받을까봐. 근데 그런 아이디어를 머릿속에 계속 간직하고 있다가 이제 어른이 돼서 찍게 된 거거든요. 그런 두 가지 면이 동시에 있었던 것 같아요.
Yes, when I was in junior high school, that, you know, was when you were the most sensitive, you know, your teenage years, was during the military dictatorship. So in school, we even had, like, classes, you know, we had classes of, like, marching classes and whatnot. So these things really, you know, frustrated me, and they kind of tormented me. But at the same time, I think this oppressive atmosphere made me kind of go off in a weird way. Like, you know, I guess you could sort of say I'm like that, you know, that pervert student in the corner thinking of weird stuff, you know? So, you know, that sort of oppressiveness, actually, I'm feeling that way. And this, the host itself, the idea of it actually came when I was in high school. I would look out my window, look at the Han River, and be like, oh, you know, I'm going to make a film with a creature coming out of the Han River. Of course, I didn't tell anyone, because, you know, they'd think I was weird or something. But I guess an idea that I formed young, I made into a film as an adult.
Thank you. I think it would be time to open the floor to questions. I think we have a question over there.
Yes. Do you have any interest in directing in the United States, or have you received offers to direct here?
Do you have any interest in directing in the United States at all?
'깐느영화제'에서 상영된 후에 미국의 몇몇 그 프로덕션 컴퍼니하고 에이전시에서 연락이 오고 스크립트를 보내준 건 좀 있었는데 구체적으로 아직 뭐 심각하게 고려하고 있는 것은 없고요. 과연 내가 미국에서 만약에 영화를 찍는 기회가 있다고 해도 과연 영화를 내가 100% 컨트롤할 수 있을까? 저에게 있어서 제일 중요한 거는 뭐 미국이건 프랑스건 어느 나라에서 찍건 제가 제 영화를 100% 컨트롤하는 게 제일 중요하거든요. 근데 알다시피 미국은 특히 스튜디오와 관련된 영화에서는 뭐 그 최종 스크립트나 최종 편집 같은 데 있어서 권한들이 대부분 감독이 못 가지고 있는 경우가 많다고 알고 있어요. 그래서 과연 그래서 만약에 역사를 뒤집어서 얘기하면 제가 컨트롤할 수 있다면 뭐 미국이건 프랑스건 일본이건 외국에서 영화를 찍어본다는 것은 되게 재밌는 일인 것 같습니다.
After the host played in at Cannes, I had offers, or I had American production companies and agencies come to me, and I've had some scripts come my way, but there's no plans, like, you know, firm plans in the future as of yet. And as to shooting here, I think for me the most important thing when I shoot a film is to have 100% control. So I don't think, you know, in America or in France, especially if, you know, if it's a studio film, that's not mostly the case. You know, it's hard to have a final say on the script or final cut. So, but on the flip side, if I did have 100% control, whether it be America, France, Japan, I think it'd be great. You know, it'd be very interesting to shoot somewhere else.
Other questions? We still have, we hardly have any time for any questions, but yes.
On the creature, the way the creature looked at all from the film, did he have final say on the creature design, or did he just, you know, did the special effects company help him out?
Did you have final say
about the design of the creature? What was the extent of the contribution of the design company?
Jang-hee-chul이라는 그 크리처 디자이너, 한국 그 괴물 디자이너가 있었고요. 영화에 보신 그 영화에서 보신 그 완성된 괴물은 그 사람의 디자인이고 그 사람의 작품입니다.
There was a creature designer named Jang-hee-chul, and the creature that you see in the film is his, you know, is his design, his creation.
그러니까 영화에서 괴물이 한 마리밖에 안 나오지만 사실은 1년 반에 걸쳐서 되게 오랜 시간 괴물 디자인 작업을 하면서 약 한 500여 마리의 괴물들이 후보에서 탈락을 했고요. 그러니까 되게 그런 그 긴 과정을 거쳐서 최종 선택된 괴물이고 그렇게 디자인이 완성된 이후에는 그 후에 이제 그 괴물의 완성된 디자인으로 그 호주와 미국과 뉴질랜드와 한국의 이제 네 개의 비주얼 이펙트 업체가 같이 참여를 해서 이제 공동으로 그 괴물을 만들어냈는데 그 이후의 작업은 오히려 그런 컴퓨터 그래픽이나 또는 아니면은 그 애니메트로닉스라고 하죠. 그 괴물 머리 퍼펫을 만들었는데 그런 퍼펫이나 컴퓨터 그래픽을 하는 과정에서 어떻게 디자인을 유지할 것인가. 그것이 오히려 흐트러지지 않고 오히려 그걸 유지하는 쪽에 가장 신경을 많이 썼었고 그래서 우리 크리처 디자이너가 직접 웨터 워크숍이나 오퍼너지나 존 콕스 크리처 워크숍 같은 데 가서 직접 관여를 하면서 그 디자인을 관리했었죠.
Although there's only one creature in the film, over a period of a year and a half, there were over 500 hopeful creatures, and they were all, you know, passed on. And we did decide on one final creature design, and afterwards, once the creature design was done, it was a co-production of countries of Australia, America, New Zealand, and Korea. So from this, you know, whether it be the computer graphics or the animatronics, for instance, like when the creature's head. It was very important for us to keep the design of the creature the way it was originally intended. So our creature designer would go to Weta or New York and with John Cox, and then, you know, make sure that the creature stayed the same.
We've been very informative, but we're going to have one last question, I think. Yes?
Yeah, I was wondering how the SARS crisis inspired you or affected your thinking about the film.
How did?
SARS crisis. Or how did the Korean film handle the SARS crisis?
The SARS crisis. How did the SARS crisis...
Did it inspire you?
How did it inspire you?
이 영화에서 부분적으로 사스에서 힌트를 얻은 것들이 있습니다. 첫 번째는 그 횡단보도에 쭉 마스크를 하고 서 있는 사람들, 이제 그 이미지 같은 경우는 실제 홍콩이나 캐나다에서 사스 사태가 일어났을 때 그 거리의 풍경 사진들에서 보던 이미지들인데요. 그런 걸 그대로 가져왔고요.
Yes, the SARS crisis, there did give a couple of hints. There are little parts of it in the film. And then first one is like when there are people standing to cross the street and have their masks on. And that's actually, it was inspired from a picture when the SARS hit Hong Kong and Canada.
그리고 그 영화에서 보시면은 바이러스가 없는데 바이러스가 있다고 난리를 피면서 이제 그 괴물이 바이러스의 숙주다라고 주장하는 부분이 나오는데 그거는 그 한편으로는 그 이라크 전쟁에서 그 WMD에 관련된 그 WMD를 타고 난리를 폈는데 결국은 미스인포메이션이었다고 스스로 고백을 했잖아요. 그거를 풍자한 것이기도 하지만 동시에 또 사스가 창궐했을 때 사스의 진원지였던 중국에서 그 사양고양이라고 해가지고 시벳 CIBET인가? 그거를 다 학살한 적이 있었어요. 이 동물에서 사스 바이러스가 나왔다고 해서. 그래서 그 사태 같은 경우도 좀 영감을 줬죠.
And then, you know, with the whole, like, is there virus, no, no, there's no virus, of course, you know, it's an obvious satire of the whole Iraq war thing with the weapons of mass destruction, you know, and it turns out to be misinformation. But at the same time, it was also, I was deriving it from where China, where SARS apparently all began, and there was an incident where they destroyed the civil, there's an animal civet, you know, because they believe that that was where SARS came from.
Denied it for a long time too. Yeah. 그것도 한국에서 실제 비슷한 일이 있었으니까 한국은 사스가 이렇게 창궐하진 발생하진 않았는데 공항에서 이렇게 사스 의심 환자, 사스로 의심되는 환자가 잡혀가서 그런 보름 동안 컨테이너 박스에 병원에서 가둬둔 적이 있었어요. 병원에 그 입원 환자들이 그 같이 있는 거 싫어한다 그래가지고 병원에 정식으로 입원도 못 시키고 병원 뒷마당에 있는 컨테이너 박스에 보름 동안 그 안에 갇혀놓고 이제 조사하고 그 안에는 이제 TV랑 전화기만 있었고 이런 그래서 그 사람은 보름 동안 이렇게 갇혀 있다가 나중에 알고 보니 그 사람은 독감 증세였다라는 것을 밝혀져서 다시 풀려났던 사건이 있었거든요. 그게 그 송강호의 그 컨테이너와 관련된 시추에이션은 거기서도 좀 영감을 받았죠.
Also, there's a scene where 송강호 is put into this like medical kind of container, and there's a similar case in Korea when SARS was never really hit force in Korea, but at the airport they take these people who were suspected, you know, carriers of SARS, and then take it for 15 days and put it to these like similar medical container type things, and they weren't even allowed to be admitted to the hospital officially because people, the fellow patients were like, no, we don't want them. So in the backyard of the hospital, they would have these, you know, medical containers, and people would be stuck there for 15 days with only a TV and a phone. Oh, and then when they actually looked into it, it turned out he was only experiencing a very severe cold.
Well, upon these words, I think we are going to wrap up this conversation that could still last for hours, I'm sure, but Director Bong will be with us for a little while longer. We're going to head out to the post-film reception, and I want to thank you again for attending this film festival. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed at this forum do not necessarily reflect those of the Korea Society. Thank you for listening to this Korea Society podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider becoming a member. Members of the Korea Society are notified of all Korea Society events, enjoy discounts on admission to programs, and a complimentary subscription to the Korea Society Quarterly. Memberships may be purchased online at our website, www.koreasociety.org.
The proceeding was a production of the Korea Society. For more information on our programs, please visit www.koreasociety.org.